Blog Talk Radio.
Better get ready.
What you gonna do?
The Lord is
what you gonna do?
What you gonna do?
You better get your heart to the Lord.
What you gonna do?
What you gonna do?
What you gonna do?
Delighted to be able to come into your workspace, come into your living room area, and then ride on down the dangerous highway and byway with the old Ship of Zion on your radio dial. I just thank those of you that so graciously tune in on tonight. I just thank God for you, you, and you, and may God richly bless you. I hope and pray that all was well in your family circle on today, and I hope and pray that all continually to be well. Hallelujah. And I want to take out this time and acknowledge those of you that has lost loved ones in the last 24 hours, the last hour earlier this morning. I want to take this opportunity in this podium to tell you that you are not alone. And when you saw only one set of footprints, that's when God was carrying you. Hallelujah. And he's still carrying you right now. And we just ask God to bring back peace and contentment and restoration unto your heart. Replenish the joy that you once had that has now been placed with sorrow. So we will give God the glory and all the praise. These and other blessings we ask in your Son. Amen. All right, we're going to go now into our opening prayer. And I'm asking those of you that will to bow your heads as we acknowledge the one and the only Jesus Christ of Nazareth, our soon coming Messiah. We're going to acknowledge him on tonight and every opportunity that presents itself. We're going to acknowledge God in everything that we do over here on the old Ship of Zion. So we're asking you, if you will, to bow your beautiful heads as we go down in prayer. Father God, we come with a grateful heart of your sovereignty and your love unmeasured. We thank you, O gracious Heavenly Father, for assembling us together in unity again around this spectrum. Father God, for we know that this earthly planet is not our eternal home, but we know that you have lying in wait a mansion that's not built by mortal man, but you are his creator and you are his architect. And until you crack those clouds one historical day, we will be coming and going as pilgrims through this barren land. I'm asking you on tonight, Heavenly Father, to anoint these lips of clay, God, to bring a rhema word to those that may or may not know of you and the pardons of their iniquity. I'm asking you, Heavenly Father, grace me, your servant, with words of encouragement, words of wisdom, to those that are hurting so deeply in the epitome of their souls, Lord. Give them peace, God. Give them contentment, God. Restore their souls, God. Hallelujah. These and other blessings we ask in Jesus' righteous name. And we'll let the church say amen and amen. I will be with you tonight, 45 minutes on the clock. And so we're going to go right now into our scheduled program. I have placed the call-in numbers into the studio on the monitor, so it should be listed. And if you didn't get to see it, I will call those numbers out. And the numbers are 646-230-74. Second set of numbers, 877-598-8654. Do you have any prayer petitions? You are welcome to call in at the conclusion of this program. If you have any testimony of what God has done in your spiritual life and you want to share it with us, we're eager to hear from you at this time. And so if there won't be any testimonies at this time, we're going to go right now into our scheduled program. May God bless you. All right, our sermon on tonight entitled Witnesses Behind the Scene, Living Models. I'll say that again. Witnesses Behind the Scenes, Living Models. And you might ask, Overseer Ward, what do you mean witnessing behind the scene and living models? All right, I'm going to break that down right now. We're going to go right on into our first key scripture, and it reads like this. He must increase, but I must decrease. That scripture reading is found in the law of John 3:30. And we find out that in this global world in which we live, we know that people around the world instantly recognize the Big Bird and Oscar the Grouch from the children TV show Sesame Street. But there was an individual by the name of Carol Spiney. He was not a well-known celebrity, even though he brought both the characters to life on the popular program since the early 1990s, and then probably around 69. But he was a skilled puppeteer, and Piney also had been content to work behind the scenes. He had been content doing that. And so that's the reason why that we have on our sermon on tonight, Witnesses Behind the Scene. Because isn't everybody able to be out front? So then you can also be a powerhouse just from being from behind. So God places each and every one of us where he wants us to be. And so I believe that God called every believer of Jesus to take a similar approach in making him known to the world. We find out that John the Baptist told his listeners, he said, I'm not the Christ, but I've been sent before him. He must increase, but I must decrease. And as I first stated, that scripture reading is found in the law of John 3:28-30. Now John acknowledged that he was not the bridegroom, but only his friend. That's in verse 29. And it also reminds us that goodness and purity ought never to attract attention to themselves. They ought to simply to magnet to be drawn to Jesus Christ. We know that a beautiful saint may be a hindrance if he or she does not present Jesus Christ, but only what Christ has done for him or her. We will leave the impressions what a fine character that man or that woman is. That is not being a true friend of the bridegroom. I am increasing all the time. He is not. We know that Jesus the Savior is on stage. And we must never forget that we must be behind the scenes. Hallelujah. And we also know, thank you, Jesus, that Jesus, when we share the Lord with others, they can see him on display. For the world to see him clearly, we must not get in the way. And we who glorifies, let him glorify in the Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. And there was also no sin you might be familiar with. It says that actions speak louder than words. We know that that's still truth in today's world. Much of our communication is verbal. People hear us by paying attention to our gestures. They pay attention by our facial expressions. And they pay attention by our body deportment and our vocal intonation. We know that these are external indicators for our internal attitude. Hallelujah. And we know that these are external indicators for our eternal attitude. And that is that they help you and I to understand the truth message we are communicating as we relate with others. We know that more often than not, others, hallelujah, will be more impressed by what we do than by what we say. As Christians, we must expect that others will read us as living documents. This is what the scripture means when we are encouraged to be living epistles. When people read our body language, they should see the movement of a Holy Spirit. And our thoughts, hallelujah, we need to be sure that the actions of the Holy Spirit are visible in our nonverbal communication and in our actions, as well as in our verbal communications. And you can do that by letting the Holy Spirit complete the perfect work in us. We are then allowing the hands of the Almighty to write upon the tablet of our spirit. And each individual who comes in contact with us can read what the Holy Spirit has to say. People can be saved and their lives can be changed because what? They are inspired to learn about the Lord through reading the living epistles of our lives. Our letters written by the Holy Spirit might say, dear reader, let God dwell here. I have been changed, this vessel from within, so that this life is a clearer reflection of the Lord Jesus. We know that the color of skin, of gender, and nationality no longer matters. The emotional scars are healed. The past evils have been used for a good life. Liberty and love and grace and forgiveness, peace and joy remains in this person. This is possible for you and I. You can come get to know me. Sincerely, the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. And so you can be witnesses behind the scenes. And you can also be living models. So that's two in one. Hallelujah. And we find out that Paul wanted Christians to be aware of the awesome responsibilities that all believers have toward those who are not Christians. God may open a door for our message as he did for Paul, but we ought to be very concerned about the impressions we give those we find, hallelujah, there, and make the most of every opportunity. Each day when we leave home, when we go out and we have our outline itinerary up to date of what we want to accomplish, we should be thinking along those lines that when we leave our home or office, that we can be able to witness to one individual along that journey that day. We know that every meeting with a non-Christian is a chance to model Jesus, model his love, and to make him known. We model Jesus' love when we open to non-believers. We know that there's a dangerous pattern among many Christians today, and that they are so wrapped up in church life that they become isolated from those who do not belong, those who are outside of the household of faith. We know that Christians should be open to friendship with all people, not just with other Christians. We need to be careful of our actions. We know that much damage has been done to the cause of Christ by Christians who were concerned about doing the right thing, but who were not concerned about the way their action would be understood. By them that are without, hallelujah, we need to be as sensitive to needs of those who do not know Jesus as we are to the needs of those who do. And although everyone shares the same need for salvation, we know that each person has a unique personality and experience. Our evangelistic techniques should be tailored to individual needs, recognizing the specific needs and techniques required spiritually and mental preparation, as well as a spiritual of meekness. So we should not be just a Christian, upon Christian-matic person only, but we should be concerned about our fellow men and women that do not have a personal relationship with God. by administering the word of God to them. And we are to do that, like I first stated, in a spirit of meekness. We need also to be careful about our speech. One thing that is different about a person after he receives Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior is the way he or she speaks to others. And you can go into the law of 2 Corinthians 5 and 17. Paul declares, if any man be in Christ, he's not an old creature, but he has now become a new creature. All things have passed away, and behold, all things are become new. We require new vocabulary and disposition. There must be a holy balance between our lives and our lips. In other words, our speech is to be seasoned with salt, that he may know how he ought to answer every man. And that scripture reading is found in the law of Colossians 4 and 6. Hallelujah. So when you go outside of your home and your office, your job as a disciple, as a believer, as a child and woman of God, is to deliver the message of liberation to those that would be capable of listening to what you would have to say. We're in a climate world where everybody's in a hurry. They have any time in the day to do anything. Everybody's in a hurry. They're running like they're running a race. They're running the clock. And a lot of them is running to meet death head on, to meet death in a derailment. Because first of all, wherever you're going, if you take God along with you, you might make the journey. But you can be out there without the clothing, the garment of praise. And you can go out there and have an accident that would put you in a coma, put you in ICU, where the doctors say that your chances of survival is a chances of 50 to 30. But if you take God along with you in every area, every sector of your life, then you won't have to be in a hurry. And if someone come along and want to witness the goodness of Jesus unto you, you would be delighted for him or her to share their knowledge of God with you. Hallelujah. And like I first stated, we're living under perilous and oppressive conditions. We find out that the Christians of Thessalonica had some questions about their new faith. And after establishing the church in Thessalonica, Paul and his companions had to leave because their lives were in danger. But as he wrote and encouraged them, Paul pointed to the work of the Holy Spirit in and through him and his compassion as a living example. And that's our sermon on tonight, is witnesses behind the scene. And we also are living models. So we find out that Paul was a living example of the power of the gospel to triumph in the face of grave circumstances. We know that the enduring faith of Paul and Silas and Timothy was an example to the Thessalonian Christians who were being persecuted because of their faith in Jesus Christ. That's what we are encountering in today's world. In today's 21st century, we're encountering believers that believe on and in the word of God and upon Christ are being slaughtered for their belief. We know that Paul's life proclaimed what he believed. His example became a message of God's power to turn others from the valley of sin to salvation in Jesus. And he praised the Thessalonians for being his imitators, living portraits of God's grace and power. When our lives manifest the power of the Holy Spirit, we become a living testimony of the power of God. A life lived in patience and endurance, and a powerful witness that touches lives and draws people to the cross of Christ. When what we do is commensurate with how much we say we love the Lord, others will see him and ask, what must I do to be saved? We know to a great degree our neighborhoods suffer from a scrutiny of living models. Jesus Christ must be alive in us. And this message of liberation is truly address the problem of poverty, the problem of oppression, the problem of injustice. The Word of God has the power to enable believers to keep the faith, to keep on helping in the midst of distressing situations. We know that the life of a follower of Jesus, a life of commitment and encourage, compassion, and concern for others, will have a greater positive impact than all the negative influence of the neighborhood. We know that living models are God's most effective agents of conversion. And your life and my life should be like that of Paul, a living model of the power of the gospel to sustain during the time of trial. Our lives should reflect the God Spirit that's in us, that lives in us and works through us each and every day of our lives. So I just want to encourage you on tonight. Hallelujah. For those of us who don't have a spiritual gift of evangelism, the word witness can stir up some unpleasant memories, or it can even paralyze anxieties, in fact. And I know sometime I felt like a complete failure when I tried to follow methods that were designed to make witnesses easy. But the thing of it is that when we share, and when we're sharing faith, my faith and your faith means just that. It's being who you are, being who I am, being yourself, in other words. And it has made the subject less threatening for me, I know, by suggesting other ways of thinking about the subject instead of using someone else's words or story or techniques. He suggests that being yourself, and we know that in a courtroom of law, we find out that secondhand testimony is not allowed because anything other than a firsthand account is unreliable. Well, that's the same way it is in true spirituality. We know that the authentic story of the work of Christ had done in our lives is the best testimony that we have. We don't need to doctor it or dramatize it. When we tell the truth about Christ's power to save us and keep us from sin, our testimony will be credible. If the thought of taking classes or memorizing plans has kept you from witnesses, I suggest you to try a different approach. Be yourself, like the blind man Jesus healed. Simply say, though I was blind, now I see. That scripture reading is found in the law of John 9:25. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Father God. And we know that if you write your personal testimony of when you received Jesus as your Savior, you can try including what your life was like before and what your life is like now. Because we know if we want others to know what Christ can do for them, we must tell them what he has done for you and I. Hallelujah. And upon ending, I hope and pray that I've said something to demagnetize your spirit and impact your mind, as I have brought unto you the divine word of truth. And if this program has been a blessing in your daily walk with God, if you have any prayer petitions, You would want the old ship of Zion to go down and pray on your behalf. You're most certainly encouraged to send your correspondence. God House of Deliverance, Digital Worldwide Ministry. Your station has been Blog Talk Radio. Make your attentive and attention to Overseer Janice Ward, P.O. Box 1600, Gilroy, California. Till we meet across these skyways and highways, you're most certainly encouraged to go in God and allow God to go in you. I will bring these selections to just enlighten your heart and your spirit on tonight. And I hope and pray that it be a blessing to your very soul. And we will also have these selections to bring our program to its closure. Till we meet again, you go in God and allow God to go in you. Listen up, if you will, and be blessed.
Thank you. Numbers chapter 13 tells the story where God said the promise was theirs, but their self-esteem said they weren't ready. So the Bible says that Joshua and Caleb said, "You ten have it wrong. We are well able to take the city." How many of you are sick of talking about your promise? How many of you are ready to go into your promised land? You're not going to see yourself through the lens of what happened to you. You're not going to see yourself through the lens of who you used to be. Somebody raise your hands and say, "Lord, help me to believe I am what you see."
Thank you.
Somebody put your hands on yourself, just say it's my season. Put your hand on yourself, just say it's my season. Open my heart. I want you to sing like you don't miss my kid tonight. Open my heart.
Your life is in.